I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Bethy Hungerford, and you're listening to Friends with Recipes, the podcast featuring your favorite people and their favorite recipes. Today's episode brought us to East London, just up the road from Rash's Corner Shop, to the home of Anna Whitehouse, aka Mother Pucca. Anna is an amazing woman for many reasons, but she's probably best known for her FlexAppeal campaign, which champions flexible working. She's also an author and mother of two. Anna made us her favorite meal made entirely of ingredients from her friend Rash's Corner Shop. Her counter was covered in a random assortment of tins and packages, all sorts of things, but the end result was beautiful. Okay, here's Anna.
No, I feel I'm your friend who's going to let you down.
Oh no, I doubt that.
Because, like, it's cool. It's Anna's Corner Shop £5 stew.
Amazing.
I mean, for me, I'm not one of those people that's on my food shop. So yeah. It always has to be things that are available.
Great.
Down the road.
Great. So this is one of your go-to
I just made it up. It's for when I've had friends round, they've eaten it, and they haven't known it takes 5. So it's Anna's Corner Shop £5 5-minute stew.
Amazing.
Is that snappy or what?
Is going to be the shortest podcast ever.
There's no slow roasted pork belly.
That's amazing. So how did you come up with this? Just out of necessity?
Out of absolute panic. I had some friends coming round and I just, like, and they're friends that don't judge me. You know, like, I think that's the thing. It's good.
Yeah.
I'm not a culinary maestro. I just like things that you can scoop up and grab and... kind of, so it's that really. And I went down to the corner shop, and Rash, who runs the corner shop, he's a really good friend of ours.
Yeah.
And I was like, Rash, I need to pull something together. And he's like, well, you can never go wrong with a roti. He's like, get some rotis and make something stewy. Like,
So you've got a package of, it says 5 wholemeal chupatties.
Chupatties. But maybe I got the wrong ones.
Well, no, it says the authentic chupati or roti.
Oh, it's a roti.
It's the most popular bread originating from South Asia. And then it also says its light texture makes it the ideal accompaniment to all types of curries.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going curry today, but yeah. So it's...
So you always do it with a roti? This meal?
Like a... Because I went
to scoop it.
Because one of my best friends is Indian, and I loved the concept, regardless of what you're eating, of sitting, we sit around the floor with our whole family, and it would just be grabbing, ripping, no forks, no spoons, and talking, and there was an energy to that table that I was like, that's what it's about. It's not always about the food.
Yeah.
It's about how you eat it. I don't want to be sat there with a bit of foam on my plate, you know, going, do I eat the pea this way?
Yeah. Like, is this the right fork?
Is this the right fork? Yeah. Get rid of the forks. Get the scoop. Get the spade.
Get the spade. Okay.
So I kind of just literally went into Rash's Corner Shop. This was a couple of years ago. And I just picked up loads of things that I thought would go well together. And when you put it all together, it looks pretty.
So this is a really random assortment of. Honestly, I love knowing this type of recipe because people don't share them.
I've been trying since I started my blog 4 years ago. I've been trying to get people to share exactly this with me.
Okay.
But everyone's so embarrassed, as you seem to be. No. But for me, this is, I'm like, finally, I'm really excited about this because I can't cook like that where you just kind of throw everything in.
And I went.
So I'm super impressed when people can.
I could have gone with a posher sun-dried tomato, but I didn't. I downplayed that.
So this is under 5 pounds.
Yeah.
All of this. Okay, so just because I feel like this is a big part of what we're doing. Why don't you talk me through it?
Well, you start really with, you know, your chopped tomatoes.
Does the tin have to be dented or is that optional?
I just dropped that on the way in. But you know, I mean, however you want your tin to land. I actually, to be honest, this was my biggest issue because I couldn't find this morning.
And
I was like, the whole recipe rides on the tin opener. So luckily we found the tin opener. So yeah, you got your cans. So you put your beans in. Do you put your beans in first? Oh, no, So I'll do a little bit of garlic in the pan.
So can I just, I love that even the garlic looks like it was purchased from the corner store.
It's all from Rash's Corner Shop.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's a good man. He's helped me. And to be honest, you know, like, if anyone wants to go to Rash's Corner Shop, he gets all of his fresh veg from the new Spitalfields Market.
Oh, nice.
Which is down the road. It opens at midnight, and it's where all the big restaurateurs go and get all their fresh produce. So it's not...
And Rash goes there as well.
And Rash goes there as well. He pitches up.
How close is this corner shop?
It's 2 minutes down the road.
Is he in today?
He is,
Can we maybe just go say hi later?
Yeah, we could. Yeah, he's amazing. And he tells me where he gets... Because this is from New Spitalfields Market.
This is coriander.
Avocados are 100 times better than any you'd get in, like, Sainsbury's or Tesco's. So, really, I'm going upmarket when I go to Rash's.
Yeah.
But for a good price.
Because this is all under 5 pounds. Okay,
under 5 pounds.
So we've got chopped tomatoes.
Chopped tomatoes. You've got your butter beans, garlic, your puree, a bit of tahini.
See, this is where does the tahini come in? I've only ever used tahini to make hummus or like some sort of sauce situation.
Bethy, this is the thing. I've taken influences from various continents.
Okay. No, I love it. I honestly can't wait.
I've brought them together in harmony. So when you've got all that in and you've got your stew going.
Yeah.
And this, because I make it a vegetarian stew because my mates, half of them are vegetarian, vegan. Yeah. So I just like make it vegetarian.
Versatile.
And so the sun-dried tomatoes are the kind of meaty bit of it, basically. I am having a feeling like I've missed something out here, but I feel like it's going to work either way.
Well,
there's always one more thing that... You can always add what you want to it, really.
Have you ever added meat to this, or it's always vegetarian?
For me, it's always vegetarian. But when I serve it up, you've got to have a good bowl on this.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not going to lie. Your crockery needs to be quite swank to get away with this.
And some nice garnish.
And some nice garnish.
Yeah.
But I just feel garnish can fix most things, really.
I agree. Well, that's kind of... You've made a name with your, what do you call it?
Fake bake-off.
Yes.
Yeah, the great...
Which is what you started doing. You started doing that, like, initially, that was your thing. You started that, like, straight away when you kind of launched your brand. You were doing the bake-off.
The Great British Bake-Off.
Yeah. How many years ago was that now?
3 years ago.
3 years ago, okay.
Yeah.
Because somehow I started following you when you had, like, a couple hundred followers.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Because
or why.
You did a parent fail for me where I did a parent fail campaign and you had one of your kids in the sink.
Yep, that sounds about right.
And you were like just doing the washing up.
Yeah. That's a better caption than I probably put on it. But that's, but you were doing that, the Love Toast, which everybody should Google. How do they find the Love Toast? Because that's one of my most favorite things you guys have done.
So to those who don't know what it is, Matt simply carved a piece of toast into a penis. I mean, it's not exactly groundbreaking content, to be honest.
But it was. It's the delivery that's so good because you can't tell what he's doing.
No, he's really like carving those bollocks out with precision.
Yes.
And he said the thing that was hard with the Love Toast was he's like just taking a knife even to a toast phallus.
Yes.
He says it's quite a nerve-wracking exchange.
Yeah. Okay, how did we get on
So,
actually,
the Great British Bake Off started in a very similar vein to what I'm going to cook for you today. I'm not on top of things. Like, I'm not, and that's not an attempt to be, I hate the word that's being used at the moment, authentic, real, like accessible. Yeah. None of that. I just don't have my shit together.
Yeah.
And so I'm one of those people that's like, okay, well, there's a birthday cake. Why don't we just bung some things on it?
Yeah.
And then the kid feels happy because it's like, put a bit of effort in.
Yeah.
I feel happy.
And you've basically just garnished it.
I've just garnished it. Yeah.
So, and those videos are on your YouTube, is that?
YouTube and Facebook,
yeah. So you say, let's take this out of the oven, and you pull it out of the
box.
And then you just pile stuff on it until it looks fun.
Gilding the lily.
Yes.
You know, like it's embellishing.
So that's what you do with this as well. You basically throw it all together and then gild the lily with some garnish in a pretty bowl.
That could be parsley or carrot coriander. It's like a herbulette.
Okay, perfect.
But both work. That's the thing. It's so, I think the word is versatile, this stew. You know, like, and it can't go wrong.
Great.
And that is really where I sit with cooking.
I would offer to help, but it looks like it's mostly just tin.
It's going to take 2 minutes. So you get it out of the oven.
Okay.
So I'm going to open all my tins.
Okay. So what do you do during the week? Do you normally do something like this, or do you?
Yeah, quite a lot. Yeah. It's kind of stews, curries, but anything. To be honest, like Rash and I are firm friends. But we have the thing that's so nice is that we go there after school with the kids.
Yeah.
And they always get a little snack there, and I think that's what I really, because I was living away for 10 years in Dubai and Amsterdam, and you didn't get to know your neighbours as much. Like, there wasn't, like, a sense of kind of community. And
not in Amsterdam?
No, not so much. Like, because I didn't speak very good Dutch. I can speak Dutch, but not brilliantly.
Because your mum is Dutch.
Yeah,
is that
my
right?
Mum's Dutch.
So did she grow up in...
She grew up in Eindhoven, in Amsterdam, basically.
Okay, so you learned some of the language from her.
Yes. I remember the swear words mainly, because she used to just speak in English but swear in Dutch. Godverdommer! And I'd just be like, okay. Which means, I think, like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
That's
very on brand.
Yeah, I think it's along the line. So I'd always know when she was angry, basically.
But so did you get by not being fluent in Dutch when you were in Amsterdam?
I learned when I was back in Amsterdam, but it took me a while. And the thing is when you, like, Amsterdam's quite sectioned off, like you're all in your little kind of like Dutch rabbit hutches, basically. And, you know, unfortunately we became part of more of an expat community out there.
Yeah.
And then
it's so easy to do.
And most of my family are Dutch, so I would see a lot of my family. So it felt like I was integrating, but it was more that they were in Eindhoven. And so we came back here, and I think I thought London would be worse. I think I thought London would just be like head down. But we got to know Derek from next door really well, our neighbour. And May and him, she was struggling with nursery, and we'd go around there every day and do like Incy Wincy Spider. And it was very much like back in the day when you couldn't go to a 24-hour supermarket. I'd go around there and ask for an egg or some sugar. Like, it was really old school kind of neighbours.
And he passed away.
He passed away early this year.
Yeah.
So actually, no, early 2018, sorry. And it's like he introduced me to Rash.
Aww.
So he was the one that was saying, don't overlook the corner shops around here. He's like, this one's really good. And he told me about the fact he went and got all his produce from Spitalfields, new Spitalfields market.
Yeah.
And it was just that sense of everybody knowing everybody. But I'll never forget, it was Derek's carer, Debbie, who... Derek had been trying to tell her about our campaign that we run, the Flexipil campaign for flexible working. And Debbie kind of leaned over the fence one summer and she goes, Derek's been telling me all about your sex appeal campaign.
Oh, no!
And I think it's a brilliant idea. She's like, why not sleep with who you want to?
Oh,
and I didn't have the heart. She's like, what's wrong with wearing a miniskirt? And I was like, you're right, Debbie. Yeah, I'm like
this is my nightgown, Debbie.
It's definitely definitely a campaign in itself, sex appeal, but it was just so funny. And I was like, all those lost in translation. So for years, you know, even before he passed away, Derek thought I was pioneering a sex appeal campaign.
He made the mistake, not Debbie.
He made the mistake, told Debbie. And I tried to explain it, but you know when it's on, like, it's literally just falling on deaf ears.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, lovely dear, anyway.
Well, God bless Derek that he still loved you.
Yeah, we're still
and
friends.
And was so supportive and lovely, even though he thought you were a sex worker. Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with loving and supporting sex workers, of course.
Yeah.
But...
Well, it wasn't just sex workers, it was just... flinging it about a bit. I think that's what Debbie, she's like, go for it, sleep with who you want to. I was okay, yeah, different campaign, Debbie, different campaign. But there was that concept of talking over fences. And so that's why I don't shop in big supermarkets.
Yes.
I go
to the corner shop.
And I make my food decisions around what Rash can provide.
So you don't meal plan?
No.
No, and you don't ever do, like, a big food order online or anything like that?
No.
So, like, for Christmas?
I just go to my mother-in-law's.
Fine.
Yeah, I just get the hell out of here, because it's going to be a pretty dark Christmas.
Oh.
So
does your husband cook at all?
He does things like ceviche. Which
is not actually cooked. I mean, I guess you could argue that it's cooked in the acid.
There is a cooking process, Bethy.
Okay. There's a cooking element to it.
There's a cooking element to it.
Okay. Preparation, at least.
So, yeah, ceviche in tins. That's what you're going to get here. But that's the other thing with ceviche, is that he would make a massive bowl of ceviche when we have friends around.
Mm-hmm.
And you have it with crackers. And so, again, it's that kind of like just everyone getting
all
involved.
In, all together. Yeah.
I mean, I know it's not a new concept. I think Jamie Oliver will be like... came up with that. I was like, no, I know, Jamie, well done.
But we're just running with it.
We're just running with it.
You're
running
welcome.
With it. And so, yeah, everything we feed the kids and us has to have that element of, you know, it's not got to be eaten in a certain way. So with peas, we always mush them up so that Evie eats more if she can scoop it up, basically.
Yeah.
We're not until, like, my mum has a slight fit whenever we go to a restaurant.
Oh,
she's
no.
She's like, no, I have some forks, girls. They're like, no, we just use our spades.
I had a literal little spade that I used to eat with. And just recalling this now. It was a little shovel. No, it was like a, what's that called? A hoe. It was a miniature hoe. Like the shorter, like half the length of my hand. And I would use it to... shove food onto my fork and then eat it.
Wow, that's quite a laborious process.
Yeah, I need to ask my mom about that. And I was the only one who had one. The only one with a hoe at the dinner table. That's another conversation. Sorry.
That's part of the sex appeal campaign.
Yeah, that's what Derek thought was going on over here.
Yeah, that's what he was on.
Okay, so you're cutting what might be a really hot pepper with your bare hands.
Yeah, why would you not do that? What would you use? A glove?
A glove, or you could hold it down with a fork and then cut. This is why I'm terrified of just cooking with hot peppers.
Just don't give anyone a hand job afterwards. That's the rule.
Or yourself.
Or yourself. Don't flick the bean.
Yeah.
Or give anyone a hand job. Then you're fine. That's the rule of thumb.
And finger.
The rule of thumb and finger.
And whatever digit you use.
Whatever you use. So
I'm just frying
up a few of the main ingredients.
Okay, great. So you've got a little cast iron pot here.
Yeah.
No oil in there. You're just putting it directly in.
Oh, yeah. We need the oil.
Okay.
Let's put a bit of oil in.
Yeah.
And so you just, you know, you just burn that off.
Yeah.
I mean, just warm that up.
That's beautiful.
Okay, so the next ingredient, which we've got, are the beans.
So there's one clove of garlic in here.
Yeah, I've just gone one clove of garlic because we're not going to go too strong. And I put my beans in.
Okay, shall I be your stirrer?
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, that would be great. I'll prep my rotis.
So this is a one pot meal. Which is great.
You won't look back. Then you take your... I don't de-oil these because I haven't put much oil in there. So then you pop those guys in there with the little garlic clove.
All of the dried tomatoes. Yeah. You haven't chopped them or anything. They've just gone straight in.
They're just kind of like the kind of meaty element, basically.
And I think there was a big clove of
garlic. It's fine. Yeah, you can just chuck that in. That's fine. So then kind of just put your things in. Tomatoes. Just stir it around.
Yeah. This is literally going to be a 5-minute meal.
Yeah. Then I just put whatever stock I've got, really. I like any sort of stock. Put a bit of that in.
So just a little scoop of...
Yeah, a little scoop of
tomato puree.
I mean, you can go harder on the garlic and the chili.
Yeah.
I personally don't like it too much.
And is this something your kids would eat?
Kids love this. Yeah, they eat this.
And what do you call it? Hey, kids, tonight we're having...
tonight we're having rash of stew.
Oh, so this is, you call it rash of stew?
They know rash. Yeah, they know him really well. And so, yeah, you just let that kind of simmer. And the thing with this is because often, you know, that kind of witching hour mm-hmm. where you're just kind of, everyone's unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
You can just shove it all in.
Yeah.
In 2 minutes, leave it there and do all the things around. And all you need to do is put the rotis in and then you're done. And it's like... Yeah. You know, it's pretty basic.
That's perfect. That's the best kind of weeknight meal.
Yeah.
Or a meal when you're having company, for that matter.
Exactly. So then put a little bit of water on the rotis.
Your mom is Dutch. Did you grow up eating Dutch food?
Dutch food is basically sort of like a fried bitterballen. They're like fried meat. Wait.
What is bitterballen?
They're kind of like...
Rice balls? Is that what they are? What are they?
They're fried... croquettes.
Yes.
Little croquettes. And you can get them in dispensers like, you know, McDonald's will have.
Yeah.
That's the cornerstone of Dutch cuisine.
Okay.
Did you get... So maybe this explains this.
So did your mum... Is that something that people make at home or is that something you just buy?
You can make it, but generally, like, so the Dutch would have frites, kind of bitterballen. They would have a Dutch hot pot.
What is that?
It's sort of similar to that, but with more meat, basically.
Okay.
So it's not that. That's maybe I could pass it off as a Dutch hot pot, but it's got a few more Turkish, Asian.
Rash's Dutch hot pot.
Yeah, Rash's £5, five minute Dutch hot pot.
Garnished Dutch hot pot.
Influences from across the globe.
International hot pot.
International hot pot. So we're actually really close. So as you can tell with this dish, a little bit of garnish goes a long way.
Okay.
So
now the avocado is a surprise. It's a really fun surprise for this meal.
Well, it's, you know, like, pull it in at the last. And I need my good bowls because this meal doesn't work without a nice bowl.
Ooh, those pretty bowls.
Yeah, you've got to have a pretty bowl, otherwise. I think that's probably the focus of this recipe.
Pretty bowls.
Nice bowl.
Nice bowls. So this doesn't go in the stew, it's a garnish.
It's a garnish, avocado. Yeah. Okay. It kind of goes on top. You need a bit of, I don't know if this is a technical term, you need green contrast, I feel,
yeah.
For the red soup.
So what did you just put in there?
I just put a little bit of stock in, like a little bit of whatever I had. I think it's chicken stock.
Okay.
Just, you know, to give it a bit
so
of...
So like half a cube.
Half a cube, yeah.
Yeah,
half a cube. So now I dropped the avocado, so half of it's going to be squashed.
Okay.
We'll have to work with what we've got.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So, okay, so at home, your mum would make, when you were a kid, like some sort of hot pot.
My mum is an amazing cook, actually.
Is she?
Yeah.
What's her signature meal? Or what's one of her signature meals?
My mum is basically, she's kind of like Delia Smith in Tour of Form.
Yeah.
You know, like she's calm in the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
She's got Mrs. Beaton's old school English cookbook at the ready. I mean, she does everything. Like, she just loves cooking. So she's brilliant. You know, like, I mean, she literally can do anything. I'm just trying to think what she does really well.
Delia, so I only recently found out who Delia Smith is,
what?
Which was extremely embarrassing. Because,
Do you not know who Delia Smith is?
I know, it's ridiculous.
Sorry, I don't mean to shame you.
No, I deserve all the shame.
All the shame.
All of it. I now know who she is, but I didn't initially know who she was. So, but she does pretty traditional British food.
She is the grande dame of English cooking.
Okay, so is that
get out of my kitchen.
I'm sorry.
I don't even know how to cook. She's part of me. She's part of all of us.
As much a part of you as Rash?
No. Okay. I mean, he needs his own cookbook.
Yeah.
I mean, if anyone needs a cookbook, it's Rash. Now, you'd be interested at this stage. We've got, I think, our fourth continent coming in.
Okay.
Wow.
This is the tahini jar you've...
Do you know how to block
brute strength, I guess.
Is that how you do it?
I mean, maybe put it in the microwave. So the...
I'm just going to put it in.
The tahini... the oil has separated in the tahini. It's like, like a jar of peanut butter.
Yeah.
Natural peanut butter, and it's completely separated.
Yeah, I mean, I've just put a little bit in just for the taste.
You just put a tiny little kind of blob in.
Yeah, it'll just change the color of it a little bit. It'll just make it creamier.
Creamier, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is nice. So this is vegan.
Is it?
Without the chicken stock.
Yeah. Look, this is the magic carpet ride of cuisine. It can really be whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
And if you want to go off-piste, you can add, obviously, different beans.
Whoa.
Like, you could have a £5, 5 minute, 3 bean stew.
You could probably do a £5, 5 minute, 5 bean stew.
Are there 5 beans? What are they? Go.
Garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, baked beans, refried beans.
No, because I think refried beans
are
pinto beans.
Cannellini.
Yeah. Chickpeas. Chickpeas are beef.
Garbanzo is a chickpea.
A what?
Garbanzo.
Garbanzo.
Do you guys not say that here?
No, we don't.
I don't know if they say it in America either, to be honest. Yeah, a garbanzo bean is a chickpea.
Is that a bean?
Oh,
it's a pea.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so now we need to start over.
Because I don't think that comes in the bean family.
Well, I don't think this idea for the 5 bean stew is a great one, so maybe we can...
Wow, shit on my idea.
Oh, no. It was my idea. Now you're trying to steal my idea.
Three bean.
Three beans. Okay, so what would you do for your 3 beans?
I'd go kidney bean. We miss kidney.
Oh.
Yeah, that's quite basic.
I said red bean. Is a red bean a kidney bean?
You didn't say red bean, you said black bean.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay,
you can go. Bean. I think you go kidney bean, cannellini bean, and butter bean.
Delicious.
I think that's what you could do. If you wanted to amp this up a notch, not that it needs it. Now, I'm going to put some chili flakes in.
Oh, wow. And will your kids eat this with chili in it?
A little bit. Like, this is quite mild sort of chili. They like a little bit of... You can add a bit more depending on the palate of your lucky guests, basically. So this is going to cook up for a bit. Put that there. So you've got your nice bowls ready.
Yep.
And then you're basically ready to go. That's it. I then would tidy up my kitchen a bit. whilst that's all going. Got my rotis in the oven.
Oh, so tell me what you did with the rotis. I just put some watering in them.
I watered the rotis.
Is that something that Rash recommended?
It's just something the packet recommends.
Oh, okay.
I just went with that. I think that's parsley. It should be coriander, but...
It looks like coriander.
It's coriander. I think it's coriander.
Coriander.
No, that's parsley.
It smells like coriander. Yeah, it smells like coriander.
That's great, because that's what I wanted. But again, you know, it's herb roulette. You never really know. And you're pretty much done.
Amazing.
You can then pour yourself a glass of wine.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to stress out about what you're going to feed people, because you've got a massive bowl of stuff, basically.
Yeah.
They can add more spice to it if they want at the table. You just lay it all out on the table. You get your rotis out, and everyone just kind of...
Digs in.
And I've served that up to some friends who've noticed I've served it up, like...
Really quickly.
You know, like when you wear a dress to a wedding three times?
Yeah.
And you think you've worn it to three different weddings, but there was one person at the same wedding each time.
Okay. Like, not the same bride, but...
No, not the same bride. That would be an amazing friend. I'm on to the next.
Done.
Yeah.
Well, actually, one of my favorite...
His penis was shit.
My favorite moment in any film is Austin Powers. Have you seen that? I think everybody has seen that.
Yeah.
Where he's playing a character and he goes, "This is my first wife, Oprah." We laugh every time to introduce someone as your first.
Your first.
This is my first husband.
I do, like, my mum whispered to me the other day, because we were talking about finances and, like, how my husband and I have kind of gone all in, just like we've just had to. It's just been like, we're manning the fort. It doesn't matter. It's children, money, but it's all in. And my mum just sort of went over to me and whispered, she goes, "I'd keep a little back just in case."
Oh!
I was like, okay.
A friend of mine, I was talking to her the other day, and she said, she was talking about a flat she has, I think in Clapham or somewhere, and she said, it's my just in case flat. And I was like, what? She's like, well, just in case my marriage doesn't work out. It's like, what? Is there something, like, are there problems? She said, no, we're fine, but it's just my plan if things don't go well.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, okay, well, that would make me really nervous as her spouse, but
yeah.
But hey, it works for her. When you do your food videos, do you eat those after? Or do you, like, kind of check them?
I mean, food video is a very loose term for what
we do. Okay, I'm really asking about your cake videos. Do you then just sit down and
have,
like,
it? Yeah. We keep it in the kitchen.
And you just slowly eat, make your way through it?
Yeah.
So always. Do you ever bake, like, from scratch?
I did. It started when I wanted to set up my own cupcake business.
What?
Yeah, I went through a phase.
I was not expecting you to say that at all.
I literally was about to become, because in Holland, they hadn't discovered the cupcake when I lived there.
Oh.
And so I was like, how are they so behind on this? And I thought, I'm gonna set up the cupcake. And I set up a whole, like...
What was it called?
Baking. Well, it was run alongside my dog walking business, which was called Dog Tired. I called it Doggy Style in the end.
You've always had a sex theme.
Always. So okay. My business was a dog walking business with a cupcake business. And I did it for 3 months, but it made no money.
So what was your cupcake business called?
It was under Doggy Style, because I was going to see if it was successful. And I went down to the local market, Nordermarkt, every Sunday and sold cupcakes. And it was great, but it just wasn't a business that turned over very much money. And
tell me about your cupcakes, though.
They were pretty good.
I'm really shocked. Like, what were your flavors?
I'll have to find a photo for you. Like, I have friends who still talk about them. Like,
we'll put a picture in the blog post of,
like,
Mother Pucka's Doggy Style cupcakes.
No one. And I think when you've tasted such success,
yes,
you want to go against that.
Yes.
So I went from having made the perfect cupcakes. Like, honestly, I have friends who still are like, please, just make them.
Do you ever make them anymore?
I don't know. It feels like a part of me I've left behind.
Okay.
In all honesty.
Okay.
I'm going to try and find some photos for you.
So did you come up with the recipe for the cupcakes.
Yeah, I
so you're
played
a baker.
Around. That's where it all started, really.
You were a professional baker.
Before Mother Pucker, I was going to be... I was going to bring cupcakes to Holland. That was my business plan. And I had a little, bakery area of a big bakery that I worked at with my friends.
Oh, my gosh.
It was amazing, but it just was so much work for so little back, basically. And
just financially, it was hard to...
Financially, it just didn't work out, basically. I ended up, I say closing the business, and I was a terrible dog walker. I mean, that was awful. Because you see these people with 20 dogs.
Yeah. It just looks super stressful to me.
Yeah, it was a stressful situation. And I had a dog called Douglas, a beagle, who we got from a rescue home. And he would eat everything. And I remember walking through the red light district with all these dogs. all these dogs, doing my work. And it was after Gay Pride. And Douglas just went for something. And there was just a point, which is where I closed the business in my mind. I mentally shut down, where I was wrestling a condom from Douglas's jaws, holding on to 15 other dogs.
Oh, no.
Just Douglas, no. And I'm like... And he's just
That would have killed him. It's basically a deflated balloon.
The whole thing was just horrific.
Yeah.
I came home that night, and Matt had been working, he was working as an editor out there. And I came home that night and I just was I had to wrestle a condom, a used condom from Douglas's jaws. And I can't do it. And he was just okay, what do you want to do? And I was I think I want to write. And that was really where.
Really?
But I wanted my own business.
Yeah.
So
that was always clear.
So cupcakes were.
So at the point of the dog condom incident,
yes.
You were also baking.
Yeah, that was. Dog walking was keeping the finances coming in, and then the baking business was meant to be the thing that took off.
Yeah.
And it just, and this is what I always say in terms of the failure along the way. I had three or four businesses that weren't just kernels of ideas.
Yeah.
I still have my doggy style business cards.
Yeah.
You know,
I've done the same, to be honest.
You
keep going.
You keep going and you're like,
you,
okay,
you cupcakes. Pivot.
Pivoting is is a kind word for going, this is fucking shit and it's not working.
So not cupcakes necessarily, but do you bake anything?
No, because
nowadays.
I think I felt like I failed at it. You know, I think that's...
Because financially the business didn't...
It didn't work. Yeah. And I felt like I failed. So when I started the Great British Bake Off, it was kind of a reaction to that failure.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people who failed at things along the way, mine's quite fluffy stuff, making cupcakes. People are doing far greater things than that.
But, yeah.
I think often you find that your failure is the springboard for your success.
Yes.
And that's the bit that I couldn't see at the time.
Yeah.
I just thought, I have failed.
Yeah.
Doggy style has failed.
I failed.
I failed
style.
The dogs. I failed the cakes. And it was a kind of haphazard kind of idea, but I think it gave me a first taste of what it takes to work on your own and do something yourself. And then when I came to set up Mother Pucker, it was very much off the back of that, of failure, of it is okay to fail, which is how we first met, when you did Parrot Fail. It was kind of that sense of, actually, maybe I'm not alone in failing.
Because it's not a unique experience to fail.
No.
And especially as a mom, it's not a unique experience to have to pivot.
No.
Over and over and over again. Until you figure it out.
Well, I think the word pivot's brilliant. Because
yeah.
It just makes you feel like, just gonna pivot 360 degrees. it's not a complete turnaround, just pivoting.
Pivot. No, but I have to think of it that way. Because if I think of it as a failure,
You just don't get out of bed.
No.
No, there was a period where you don't get out of bed. And, And people think you're doing well. I think that's the thing. When they see certain things, I think certainly now, you see certain things. I often get people like, how did you just make this work? I was like,
I didn't.
I just, by failing and failing and trying something else. And I think the thing I've learned, and I've done it a lot over the last 2 years, is I've done lots of different projects that haven't worked.
Yeah.
And you can have an umbrella of something that's kind of what you want to do, but don't fear the things fucking up along the way.
Yeah.
And it's easy to say, because to be honest, failing costs.
Yes.
You know, it's not as simple as like, try all the different projects.
I invested so much time and money into my event company. So much. And now when I think about it, I feel really bad about it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have gotten here where I feel like things are going well. I feel like I'm on the right path. But I wouldn't be here if I hadn't had that massive failure of my events company.
Yeah.
And then we've also bonded over failing to produce humans.
Yeah. Failure. Yeah, your uterus is failing. Your cupcake business is failing. Your dog walking
style.
Your slightly sort of sexual connotations around your dog walking business. I mean, that was never going to do well. But yeah, I think that is that. And again, it's that I think opening up around that failure, whether it's to do with your uterus or it's to do with what you feel is your mind.
Yeah.
It just needs rebranding, that word failure, because it's not...
That's why I say pivot.
Yeah, it's not rock bottom.
No,
yeah,
because you literally have to... I mean, that's the nature of a pivot. You literally have to go, okay, which foot am I going to lean on? Okay, let's go this way. Let's try this now.
And what's driving me to the next thing? So, like, when I couldn't get out of bed when I'd lost all that money and... Yeah. My husband was supporting me because of my harebrained idea that I thought bringing cupcakes to the Netherlands was the way forward.
It could have worked.
And I think I knew it was never a good business model, really, just in terms of the overheads and everything, in terms of what you'd sell. But like when I couldn't get out of bed, and there came a point where actually I thought, look, I want kids at some point. I want to be able to provide for those kids.
Yeah.
You find another reason to... keep going. I mean, I know that, I mean, Matt's going to be watching this back going, like, because there was a point where he was like, I didn't really know how to talk to you because you were so down about it all.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's just cupcakes. Go do something, you know. And I'm like, but it wasn't just cupcakes. It was my thing, you know. It was me trying to find my way.
Energy and emotional energy.
It had me talking to all the market storeholders at Nordermarkt in Amsterdam. Yeah. It had me out of my bubble. It had me going to all the markets at like 3 a.m. to get the best eggs, the best flour. You know, it had me living a different life. It wasn't just
and imagining
the fucking cupcake.
Yeah, well, you're imagining your future.
Yeah.
You're imagining an entire life. It's not just the cupcakes. It's where the cupcakes are going to take you.
Yeah.
And for that to fall apart, no, it's not just cupcakes. It's the whole future you imagined for yourself and your family.
Yeah.
And to have that... And to do that over and over and over again is just so difficult. So you're holding your phone like you might have a picture of a cupcake.
I don't know where they've gone. Like,
send it to me and I'll put it on the blog post. But I just, can you give me like 2 examples of some of the flavors?
Okay, so I did a whole baby shower for my friend Pippa. And so she's incredible.
Pippa Middleton.
Pippa Middleton. Pippa was the woman who, so when we'd had like 3 or 4 miscarriages over in Amsterdam and trying to have May. And Pippa, I remember, was the person who managed to help me get through it in a way that I didn't think was possible. And I remember going around to her house and sitting on the sofa, and she just made me a cup of tea, some biscuits, and we were just chatting. And she said, look, I want you to be Imogen, her daughter's godmother.
Oh.
And I'll never forget a woman giving another woman a role in a child's life.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh.
It was, like, I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Because I was so broken.
Yeah.
at that point.
To have someone believe in you.
And felt so redundant, like my uterus wasn't working, my business wasn't working. Yeah. I felt so isolated, and she gave me a focus.
Yeah.
And so and she was pregnant at the time with Imogen. And when it came to her baby shower, like, that was when actually I was like, fuck it, I might not be making money from this. And I might not. Wow, I've just put chili in my eye.
I knew it would happen.
Jesus Christ. You were right. I needed to use the fork.
Quick.
Oh, God.
Your flick is still there.
Are we all right?
Good.
Jesus Christ. Okay, no, always use a glove or something on the chili. And I think it was just that moment of another woman giving me a focus. And so that baby shower.
For your goddaughter.
I have never baked so immaculately in my life. I went all out. You know, it was like, I'll send you the photos.
Yeah, I'll put it on the blog post.
Everything. I put everything into it, and what she did was just steer me away from what I wasn't doing towards what I could do.
Yeah.
And that was friendship.
Those are your best friends, aren't they?
There, yeah. I think giving me a role in her daughter's life, like, was at a point where I didn't think I had a role anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm not taking that out of the equation. I was definitely with him.
Yeah.
He was amazing.
But sometimes you need. It often feels like a given that your spouse believes in you and is supportive and all of those things. But to have someone else believe in you and put their trust in you and give you the honor of being a godparent or a role in their life or their children's lives or their business's life in some way, it's so different than your spouse or your mom going, great job.
Yeah, great
job. You're going to do great.
Because they're going to say that.
Yes, yeah. They're always going to say that.
Yeah, exactly.
But to have someone else say that is a game changer.
Yeah, to have, my five pound stew is stewed. Now, obviously, I've stewed this for longer than 5 minutes, but you can really go with what you want.
I'm going to give that a smell. It's reminiscent of a chili.
Is it?
Like an American chili. The kind of tomato base and the beans.
It's, like I say, it could be anything, really. So I'm just going to serve this up. So now this is the essential bit.
Okay.
So I'm just going to slop it in. Is that
Is that great. You were about to.
I was about to
dump the pot into the bowls.
So, and it's, you know, you can see it's quite a chunky mix.
This is beautiful.
I'll do.
But look at those bowls.
Yeah, I'll do that.
No, it is nice and colourful.
So there we go. But you can see we were chatting there for, 10 minutes or so? I wasn't even thinking about it. You can't ruin this dish. You can't burn it. this is for all those that fear the kitchen and catering for large numbers, I would say.
This is easy.
This is your entry-level stew.
And it honestly doesn't look like it only took 5 minutes.
No, and that's the joy. That's the joy, and that's what the corner shop stew does. So then,
okay.
What you do, this is the important bit.
Okay, let's see it.
Now,
this is the garnish.
Yeah.
So you've got some yogurt.
So you can see how beautiful this avocado is. This is a Rush special.
Yeah.
And I've kind of... And then you just layer the avocado over it.
This is really lovely.
Like that. You need a Rash avocado for this. You don't want one of those like rubbery ones from a supermarket.
Yeah. Now would Rash like help you choose the avocado?
No, he lets me, you know, run free really.
Yeah.
And then
as a good mentor would.
Just gather them up.
So this is the coriander, parsley.
Coriander, parsley, could be any herb.
This is really beautiful, actually.
I love how you add the actually.
Well, because you've made it sound so rough and ready, but it's a really pretty meal.
It delivers. It's a lot of bang. You get a lot of bang for your buck.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking if there's anything I can add on top.
Oh, it smells really good. It smells, probably because of the avocado and the coriander, it smells like Mexican food.
Yeah, it's... I don't think I usually, like, sometimes I put some seeds on top, like...
You digging through your cupboard has reminded me. Can we just take a quick look in your cupboard, just while we're here?
There's not much food in it. There's a lot of condiments. Condiments to food ratio.
You've got Marmite peanut butter.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is one of my favorite things.
It's the best.
Nesquik chocolate milk. I used to drink this all the time when I was growing up. Do they do the pink milk here as well?
They do, yeah.
I love that. I haven't had that for ages.
So what I might do... So
custard powder. What do you do with custard powder?
I tried to make some the other night and it just went so badly wrong. This is what I'm going to put on. I'm going to put some sunflower seeds.
Oh,
so
I like it.
You know, another influence. Nothing. Just put a few over.
Byron Bay cookies.
And then... Yeah. I know a friend of mine brought those for me. Now... I've overcooked my chapatis, I think. That's the issue.
Oh, no. Right, I totally forgot they were in there.
But it's no issue. And what you can do with these, which is quite nice, is to roll them up.
Pretty.
And then you just kind of...
Anna, this is really pretty. Yeah. It's a really lovely meal.
Thank you. Because it gives people that immediate... ability to get stuck in, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
it's an invitation.
You kind of just put it. And then it's quite like, there you go, guys. You just shove it out.
Oh, I'm so hungry. It looks delicious.
We'll see. I mean, I say you can't go wrong with it.
Okay. I'm going to go into the stew first. Give it a little mix so I get those garnishes.
And then you kind of, and when you're in this situation, you're kind of a bit more relaxed anyway. When you've got a bowl or something.
That's really good. It's really, I can't quite place where it's from. No, I love the different textures. Lots of different textures, different flavors.
It's got a bit of spice in it.
Yeah, a little bit of spice. It could have a lot more spice. Hence the
and
chili
then,
flakes
and
on
there
the
you
table.
Go, you know? It's really your own blank canvas to do with what you want.
Such is life, isn't it? This is delicious. Well done.
Thanks. It's a bit of a curveball, right?
I love it.
You can get Anna's recipe for her 5-minute, 5-pound stew by going to friendswithrecipes.org. And Anna can be found on Instagram as Mother Pucka. You can find this podcast on Instagram as Friends with Recipes. Please share, subscribe, rate, and review this podcast as it makes a real difference and is truly appreciated. A big thanks to Anna for being on the show. You know, I think my visit really impressed her because I overheard her describing me to a friend.
She is the grande dame of English cooking.
Well, I'm flattered, Anna. You're pretty great yourself. Tune in next week for another episode of Friends with Recipes. See you then!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.